Someplace there's got to be a place where people are free to discuss what they know and what they don't know and to find out what they can.
Radioactive Waves is presented by the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History. Together, we will explore all things atomic, nuclear, and radioactive, along with some interesting surprises from our museum's collections and connections.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Anna Part, and I'm here with my co-host,
David Gibson.
And today, we're doing something extra special. Today, we're going to be continuing our interview series. Hopefully, you guys remember Hal Bell and the amazing stories that he was able to share with us. Well, today, we are going to be interviewing our brand new membership and events associate, Julie Dolagowski.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Anna and David.
Yes, it's good to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we decided that it would be really interesting to get kind of a look behind the scenes, let our membership know whose kind, soft hands they're being lovingly taken care of in.
Yes, I am at the helm.
So one of the things that, you know, Julie, you've been here for 3 months, is that right?
Yeah, just over 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Yeah. And it's been really fun getting to know you. And part of the reason that we decided to do this for our podcast this month is because every time we talk, you end up telling me some like little tidbit about your life that I'm like, what? How does she know that? So it's also been really helpful. I've been working with her as the digital content coordinator to organize events, and you know, she's got some great contacts and just so much knowledge that has been really, really helpful. As you guys know, I'm the history person. David is the science person. But I will let you in on a secret. I am the material culture history person. I don't actually know that much about nuclear history. I have to do research for this podcast. Whereas Julie knows about missiles and planes and all kinds of stuff.
Well, don't sell yourself short, Anna. You seem to know a ton about like the exhibit here that we have on like quackery and like radium and like how it pertains to like popular culture. And that just baffles me, so.
Well, and that's why, I mean, that's one of the best thing about our staff at the museum is in the same way that David fills in the science and education gaps in my knowledge here on the podcast, you know, Julie, you help fill in the gaps about Cold War and,
yeah, well, I think that a lot of that's part of being a museum mm-hmm. is we have to be a team. We have to kind of overlap at times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the fun of it because then you do get different viewpoints,
mm-hmm.
which for a museum is important.
Yeah, one of the things they talk about a lot in, like, museum professional development is, like, how many hats are you going to wear in one day?
All
like,
of them.
Yeah, every single hat.
And then probably go out to Goodwill and pick up a new hat.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
there are more hats that you will need.
Or you're going to find a random hat somewhere and be like, whose hat is this?
Oh, look, a podcast hat.
Yes, I find that they hand you hats. Yeah, you didn't know. And you walk into a room and they'll give you a new hat. Yeah.
Well, or in our case, David, we decide to make a hat.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we developed hats, yeah. We're like, we don't have enough hats, let's make more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Julie, one of the things that I'm really curious about is what you do here at the museum. Membership and events. I have a pretty good idea. I work with you, but I don't know. I think there's a lot of membership stuff that happens that I have no idea about.
Yeah, absolutely. So the membership and events associate, it's kind of a conglomerate, obviously, of two positions that were formerly actually two people. We had a membership associate.
She's wearing many hats.
Yeah, again, with the many hats. We had a membership associate and an events associate. When I came in to the museum in January, they kind of got combined into one big job.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the events go, I'll start with that. So events, we do all kinds of fun events. So Anna and I have worked together to do a lot of digital events now because of the pandemic and stuff like that. So Anna's been really great working with me on planning some of the digital events. So membership events that are only for members. Hopefully soon we'll start doing our Einstein's Night Out again. That's a series that we do for our Einstein Society members only, where we take them on fun excursions throughout Albuquerque and just experience things in a fun and friendly way to build our community here. I've also worked on, some of our bigger events, like the gala. Our annual gala is the museum's big fundraising event for the year.
That was really fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. Again, I started in January, and the gala was in March. Mm-hmm. So it was, they just threw me right into the deep end of the pool.
Here's
there.
The gala hat.
Yeah. that was a big hat.
Well, and it was also a different experience. Like, obviously, I had never worked on it. Julie had never worked on it. And it was digital for the first time ever. So even the people who had gala experience were also in the deep end with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like a whole new world this year.
But it went really, like, I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but...
Yeah, it definitely really exceeded expectations.
Well, and it was also really fun. Like, it was a good time.
Yeah.
Working on events with people, you know, who are fun to work with, make it totally worth it.
Yeah, and that's...
To be stressed out.
Yeah, and that's, again, that's one of the reasons why I love working here is because, like, I can hop into Anna's office and I'll have a question about an actual thing, like... We're planning the Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Day. And then we end up talking about, like, her story.
Oh, I know what you... My story, but, like, the portmanteau of when people say history, but they say herstory.
Yes. Yeah, like how. Like, when you're doing women's history, women's history, but her story. And then we talk about that, or we'll talk about missiles for 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's all good. We always learn something new.
Exactly.
We've had a lot of fun collaborating on some of the member programs that we're planning to have upcoming in the next few months. We've had some interesting meetings with other museums for collaboration. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been fun. We just had a meeting with an institution that I knew nothing about, and Julie was on their website, like, looking up planes and, like, seeing which planes we had in common, and, you know, it's been really fun to, I don't know, learn stuff that's not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, and then as far as, like, the membership stuff go, kind of going back to, like, the Einstein Society and Einstein's Night Out, I mentioned finding ways to build community, and so that's what I do as the membership associate. I'm still kind of getting my feet wet in that and figuring it out and figuring out how are we going to not just move past the COVID, but how are we going to build our membership and thrive after COVID. So looking ahead to the future and what is our community going to look like going forward? How are our member events going to look? And so that's really fun. I love doing that. And speaking of special members-only things, the podcast is actually a benefit for only Atomic History patron members. So you guys get first access to hearing this podcast. It gets delivered straight to your inbox, super easy. And we really appreciate our Atomic History patron members, especially me, not just because I'm the member associate, but also because this membership level was created just for people who want to dive deeper into atomic history. And so that's why we have these resources like the podcast and soon to be some other sneak preview or replays of member events that we do. So you'll be getting all of those soon. And those are benefits that only you receive because you have decided that you want to learn more, especially during COVID when the museum was closed. But all the time, like, there's always information out there. Our Atomic History patron levels are learners, and so they want to know what's going on in the world of atomic history.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, yeah, we wouldn't get to make this podcast without you guys, so thank you so much.
Yeah, we definitely say thank you every time, and we appreciate you guys. And it's neat to have you in here, Julia, to kind of expound on what that membership is and what it includes, because it's something that we definitely appreciate.
Yeah. And we're always looking for new members. Yeah. So send this podcast to your friend if you want. Right.
One of the benefits of the Atomic History member as well, and not just like tangible benefits like receiving a podcast in your inbox, but you can participate in it from anywhere. So we have members in the Atomic History patron level from all over the United States. They just want to know more about atomic history, but maybe they can't come into the museum every month or every week like they want to. And so that's one of the big benefits, is that with the Atomic History patron, you can do this from anywhere. You can learn from anywhere.
Yeah, it's really exciting whenever, I don't know, we get like our stats back from something. And, you know, I was looking the other day, David, and I saw... This was like a while ago, but I saw that we have at least one listener from India. We've got a couple in the UK. We've got a few in Canada. I think I saw Mexico as well. You know, we've got people listening to this all over the place. And so it's really exciting to be able to reach people who aren't in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who aren't even in, I don't know, our neighbor, you know, Texas, Colorado, or Arizona, who are on a road trip. Like, it's really, really exciting to connect with people from all over the world and all over the United States. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
Julie has been all over the United States.
I'm a fan of the podcast on a road trip scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that would be because you moved here 3 months ago from Michigan?
Yeah, from Michigan.
So, excuse me. So you're originally from Michigan, is that correct?
Yeah, it's complicated. I was born and raised in Michigan. Uh-huh. I like spent my entire formative years there. Mm-hmm. I even went to college there. And then after that, I kind of moved around a lot.
That's awesome. Do you wanna share like a little bit about I mean talking about your formative years, I know that you had mentioned to me before that you were really, really interested in atomic history, even as a wee.
Yeah.
A wee.
I don't know that I would say that I was interested in atomic history.
Okay.
As a young kid. Most of my life has been an accident. So I was started being interested in like Russian and Cold War history, like in high school, and cool. It just like really appealed to me. My grandpa, who passed away several years ago, he was actually really into Russian history also, which is a whole story. but he was really into Russian history. I didn't really know that growing up because we weren't super close. But then like after he passed away, I found all of these like magazines about like Russian life that he had collected, and it was really fun to like learn about it, and I was already kind of interested in it, it was fun to like carry on that tradition, and I didn't even know that about him. So if you're listening and you're like a young kid, ask your grandparents questions, because you'll never know what you'll find out about them. But yeah, so I was interested in Cold War history, and then I went to college. And I had every intention of studying nursing. I was not going to pursue, history at all. And then again, like I said, my life has been a happy accident. For some reason, nursing didn't work out. Not that I got bad grades. it just, that avenue wasn't for me. And so I ended up studying history.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Now we have you here. Yeah.
So am I. I'm very glad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure the nursing profession would have benefited greatly from your presence, but
also, nurses are fabulous. There's nothing against nurses. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah, of course.
So now your interest in Cold War and missiles, you worked at a missile museum, and the Air Zoo?
Yes, yeah.
And so there were a lot of steps that finally brought you here.
Yeah.
That were kind of along a path. So, mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more kind of that path that led you here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I spent, after graduating from college, I actually went into the Park Service and was working as a park ranger.
So cool.
I know, it was really fun.
To be a Smokey Bear. I think that's
yeah,
so cool.
The hat was really awesome. Mm-hmm. I worked at a park in Arizona for one summer, so for 7 months. Most federal work for the Park Service is seasonal. So you only work for like 6 or 7 months and then you're unemployed, which isn't ideal. So I worked for the park in Arizona for 7 months, and then I returned to Michigan. Stayed there for about a year and a half, and then I went back to the Park Service again, and I worked as a tour guide at a decommissioned missile silo in South Dakota.
So cool.
Yeah, it was super fun. It was the best job I ever had, besides the nuclear museum.
Of course, yes.
but it was so fun. It was just a huge learning experience. So I have, besides working as a park ranger, I've also worked in museums for a while as well. So after I did my season in South Dakota doing the tours of the missile silo, which was really fun but really sad to leave, I ended up returning back to Michigan because that's where my family is, and I started working at an Air and Space Museum out there. And my knowledge of missiles and Cold War history was like really strong, like 10 out of 10. But y'all, I could not identify a plane to save my life. and luckily, not very far, less than an hour from where I actually grew up, there is this fabulous Air and Space Museum called the Air Zoo. If you're a member of the Nuclear Museum, they are also a part of the Association of Science and Technology Centers. So if you ever find yourself in Kalamazoo, Michigan, you are welcome to go visit. And tell them I said hi. So I worked at the Air Zoo for almost 2 years, and I was the front desk associate there. So I worked in ticketing, which was really fun, and in at that museum, membership was kind of folded into that also. That's how I learned about like airplanes and stuff. I kind of just like, again, trial by fire forced myself to learn, which is good. That's part of the fun of working in museums is that they're places of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took advantage of that, and I learned all about airplanes. I still am not fabulous at recognizing airplanes, but I can get a few of them. So that's good. But it was great. I loved working there. And then during the pandemic, we were still working, of course. And then one of my friends that I had worked with at a different museum while I was in college, she actually just reached out to me out of the blue and said, "Hey, I heard that the Nuclear Museum in Albuquerque is hiring. That sounds like it would be right up your alley." And I wasn't sure at first. I was like, I don't know, like maybe. But I'm so glad that I had like a community of friends and supportive coworkers who were like, "No, that's you. Like that's what you're meant to do." So I finally did apply, and now here I live in Albuquerque. It was all kind of like a really fun but wild ride to get here.
Yeah.
So but again, like every single like point has kind of like led up to working at a museum like this, and but I'm so glad to have coworkers here who have knowledge in like different areas, like Anna with the material culture and like the social aspects of that, and David with education. Good for you, David. I don't know that I have enough energy uncaffeinated to do that.
Some days do require the caffeine, yes.
But when Anna talks about the fact that I have like all these, this like big network of contacts already, it's because of that. It's because when I was out there, I was doing research to like, I had to develop my own tour. And so, yeah. So I had to do research to develop the tour and like what things I wanted to focus on. And it was just really fun to get to talk to people every day about the Cold War and about nuclear history, because that's what I was doing out there. I was talking about Minuteman missiles all the time. And to this day, they have a special place in my heart.
Yeah, you
Which is a strange statement.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we appreciate that statement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a very niche interest, but it's fine.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, you had a friend who, we spoke about the gala, and for our silent auction, you had a friend who 3D printed, like, missile replicas as pens.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
They were super cool. I remember coming in and looking at them and being like, what is that? And you came in and said, look, I got a pen.
I know, it was fun.
Super cool.
Yeah, no. So I have this weird network and very niche interest, but it's really fun. As long as what you do makes you happy.
Yeah.
And what I do makes me happy. So.
Well, and then you also mentioned to me one time that you said that you were looking at just buying tickets to come to Albuquerque for. So the Trinity site is open two times a year?
Two times a year, in April and October.
And, do you want to, talk about that a little bit? I know that...
Yeah.
I know.
So if it's not abundantly clear by now, I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to, nuclear history.
That's okay, and so we are too.
everyone here is a nerd. So the Trinity site tour, they have one every year, and a Trinity is where they tested the atomic bombs, or when they tested Fat Man in Alamogordo. And so every year they do a tour in April and October. Last year, unfortunately, they were canceled, obviously.
Of course. Yeah.
But I really wanted to go. Like, it's just one of those things that's on my bucket list. And so I was all ready to go, and then pandemic hit. And I was oh no, I can't do it. And then throughout the course of the pandemic, then I applied for a job here at the Nuclear Museum, completely out of the blue. And then I got it. And so now I'm here in New Mexico, and I am planning to go do a Trinity tour sometime soon.
That's awesome. That is something that the museum usually takes, a good number of folks down there. So you can, I'm sure, hitch a ride.
Yeah. I'm not sure if we're going to be doing that this year.
I don't know about this year. Yeah.
But
things are strange. I think if they're open, we'll probably do it. But I'm not sure if it's going to happen this year.
If the museum isn't sending a busload of people down there, we can go.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We can do a weekend. It'll be fun.
It is neat if you haven't been.
It's really interesting. I've got a couple rocks from there that are just cool.
Anna and I have talked about taking some nuclear history field trips, up to Los Alamos.
I've never been to Los Alamos.
We gotta go then.
Yeah, just moved
especially
here,
if
y'all.
You're here. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You can consider it job research.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, we could write off gas on our taxes.
I don't think we're
okay, I did not advocate that.
We could, though, if we're going there for research. I'm not.
We'll have to ask Jim and Jennifer.
I'm not trying to defraud anyone.
Yeah, anyways.
Sorry.
So I worked as a park ranger at the missile silo site out there in South Dakota. It was fabulous. I made so many good friends. I have a lot of my friends out there were retired Air Force officers or missileers who actually sat down in the capsule and were prepared to turn the key to launch the missiles. Also, fun fact, there's no red button. So the red button is a myth. It was keys. So I have friends who actually did that, and that was their job, and it was really cool. I got to learn about all kinds of fun stuff. Actually, one of my former coworkers out there, he was underground in the launch capsule, and then they had this project called Looking Glass, and it was very similar to the 24-hour airborne alert for the B-52s, mm-hmm. where it was one plane. Well, it wasn't necessarily one plane. It was multiple planes, but there was always one in the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for decades. That was the backup launch control. And so they just flew around the world ready to launch the U.S. missiles if for some reason the ground capsules couldn't, which was really cool.
That's so awesome. Well, and you actually have, some people on the other end of the spectrum as far as feelings about nuclear technology. Is that right?
Yeah, that is true. again, one of like the weird coincidences of my life. So I went to a small private school back in Michigan, and it was founded by an order of Catholic nuns. And they were incredible activists, some of them actually being arrested for protesting nuclear weapon sites, which I did not even know until after I had like graduated from that college. I had been working at the missile site, and then like I came back and they had like an alumni event or something where they were like having a talk about their activism, and I went and I was like, you guys, you did what? So I it was like one of those like weird accidents that like keeps pointing me into like this direction was mm-hmm. right, you know?
That's awesome. Well, I'm part of, you know, being a museum and being in, you know, the museum profession is that you can have an enthusiasm for something, but that neutral mindset or, you know, mm-hmm. trying to at least be able to carry that neutral mindset.
Yeah.
You know, I love all things nuclear. I do. You know, when you're teaching history or nuclear as far as, you know, weaponized nuclear or mm-hmm. even nuclear energy, you have to be careful to show and be able to portray that there mm-hmm. are both sides to these arguments. There are wise points on both sides. So, yeah. No, I think that's neat that that's part of your history is to find out, oh, okay, well, wait, what?
Right. Yeah. And I love that about the museum. It's to come here to learn and then to draw your own conclusions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we are a resource for people to learn about nuclear history, nuclear science, nuclear energy. We have all of that here. And so you're welcome to come and take a look at what we have. And I mean, it is pretty balanced, I'd say. And then make your own decision. Like, how do you feel about it? Like, what feels right for you?
Yeah,
exactly. We're here for the facts. Now, in our podcast with Anna and I mean, it gets a little bit more just opinion and fun.
Yeah.
And we, you sure. know, we put that out there that this is our opinions. This yeah. is us having a good time in the arena of nuclear and quackery. And, you know,
exactly.
not always nuclear, sometimes quackery. But, yeah, so, you know, this podcast is a little bit more lighthearted in that. But mm-hmm. As you said, the museum stance is here's the facts. Mm-hmm. And you can develop and come up with your own opinions based on that.
Yeah, and there's so many avenues these days where, like, you know, you hear, like, the buzzwords, like, fake news and stuff like that. There are so many ways and so many avenues out there for people to receive information, but we want them to know that the museum is a fact-based organization.
Exactly.
Yes.
So you can trust that what we have here is a fact. But you're still allowed to make your own opinion on that fact.
Exactly.
Like, we just present it for you. We try, to the best of our knowledge, to make that as accurate as possible so you can make the best decision possible.
There is a reason that we started this podcast series off with safety, mm-hmm. because we wanted to make sure that we were acknowledging that a lot of people don't have the same opinion about nuclear energy and nuclear weapons that we might have. Because, I mean, it's a dangerous thing that science has done. But there are safe ways to use it, and we hope to be a safe way to learn about it.
Yeah, there are so many polarizing topics.
Exactly.
And we just want to make sure that as far as, like, nuclear science and history goes, that the information that you receive is factual. And then mm-hmm. So that, like, you know, whether you make a decision for or against or neutral, that you have made that decision in good conscience.
Yeah.
That you know exactly, you have know all the facts, everything has been laid out before you, and you can feel safe with that.
Yeah. And one of the cool things about recording this podcast is that even, you know, last month we did Nuclear Disney, which was like quite, yes. quite lighthearted.
It was right. a good podcast.
Yes, yes.
If
yeah.
you haven't had a chance to listen yet, aww. Definitely go back and listen to it.
That was Thanks. A fun one. That was a fun one.
But one of the really interesting, like, obviously I am here every day. This is what we do. I did not know that there's a type of modern reactor that is physically incapable of melting down. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know that. So the fact that I didn't know that means what does the public not know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so. And yeah, that's a good point, is that like in terms of like the partnerships and the history of nuclear, there was a lot that is not, I don't want to say not told to the public, but there's a lot that...
Well, there is a yes. lot, specifically when it comes to the Manhattan Project.
Yes, yep.
That was specifically, intentionally yes. not told to the public, that is now accessible, but that's, we've talked about the historiographical,
yeah.
You know, implications of that there's lots of lost records, and
yeah.
it's hard to find.
Yeah, it's, there's just a lot that, and of course, like, I know a lot because this is something that I have studied for years. Anna knows about the, I don't want to say popular culture, the material culture and how it relates to...
I would say pop culture the culture kind of around, not yeah. necessarily just pop culture.
Yeah, so like the social implications.
Nuclear, yes.
Yeah.
Or so, atomic culture.
So Anna knows a lot about the like the social implications of the material cultures, and that's because she's studied that. In a way, there's like if it's not something that interests you, you're obviously not going to yep. go out of your way to learn about it, and so you may not know. Yeah. And that's that's important to keep in mind is that for the general public, there's something here for mm-hmm. everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nuclear is such a strange topic because it's not something that by and large you can't go out and see an atom. You can't go see the nucleus of an atom. You're probably not going to witness a nuclear detonation. You know, yeah. but. At the same time, you may have had a medical procedure or medical something that involved nuclear. And even then, it's widely misunderstood.
Yeah.
And that's because it's such a, I love the pun, hot button topic. you know, but it's something that's just a little bit different that we don't know. You know, it's a new science. It's neat to be part of this museum and to be able to show people, hey, nuclear is a lot more accessible,
mm-hmm.
And I think that comes from my, you know, position in the education department.
Yeah.
You know, it's a matter of, hey, nuclear is not necessarily something scary. It's not going to turn you into the toxic Avenger. It's not going to, you know, these,
no.
there's so much, you know, fiction based on the science that let's kind of separate those two. And
yeah.
that's a fun thing about the museum is being able to show people, you know, not just students, but people, that nuclear is something that, one, I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like everywhere.
Yeah.
It is something that's a lot more accessible.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting. And then going back, like, again, like my background is really in like military history and like nuclear weapons development in the Cold War. But like I said, there's something here for everyone. If that's not your thing, maybe learning about quackery is
yeah.
and like how people believed things about radium, and also how that pertains to your life today.
Yeah.
maybe nuclear energy just gets you really excited, or just mm-hmm. energy in general. Maybe you're a big advocate for like sustainable energy and you just want to know more about what are the alternative energy sources out there. There's so much that that we have here, because nuclear covers so much. Medical, if you're a medical professional, or if you're thinking mm-hmm. about it, How has nuclear medicine changed the medical field? What kinds of applications does it have? And then not only that, so not just nuclear, but we're also a STEM education center. So
yeah.
our education team focuses on issues that are not necessarily nuclear, but preparing future scientists and engineers for tomorrow. So there really is. There's something for everyone in every stage and walk of life here.
And I mean, we also have the unique privilege of having been a part of Sandia Labs at one point. We have this, here in Albuquerque, we have a culture that is very entrenched in scientific pursuits between Los Alamos National Labs and then Sandia Labs here. It's growing up in high school, I had quite a few friends whose parents maybe couldn't say exactly what they did. But I also had a bunch of friends who said, you know, oh, yes, I am a nuclear surveyor. We're really uniquely positioned to be able to connect people to what's going on now,
mm-hmm.
as well as what's going on in the past because of Trinity and Los Alamos, and now because of Sandia. So I think that's... special and exciting.
Yeah, it is fun. And here at the museum, our docents are fabulous, too. Oh, all man. The volunteers and docents. I just love talking. I've worked at other museums before, and volunteers have always had a special place in my heart. Like, they are always, like, the reason that I enjoy the work that I do so much. Like, coming in and getting to talk with them and hear their stories. Every one of them has a different story. And it's so fascinating to learn what they have to share. I think just about every docent here at the museum has given me a tour of Heritage Park, and I'm very thankful for that, because every different docent that gives me a tour of Heritage Park, I learn something new.
Well, they all have a different perspective. I mean, we have, you know, like I say, such a broad range of docents.
Yeah.
Some of them that I worked on that plane, or I flew that plane, or, you know, I was there when that plane did this or that, and yeah, we do have, I mean, just a rich, rich pool of not only like wonderfully knowledgeable, but just friendly and you know, just wonderful, wonderful docents. That's a large part of, I think, the appeal of the museum is not only can you go in and see, you know, the artifacts that were there, but you can also talk to, in some cases, people that worked on them. We're very, very lucky. We did a podcast with Hal Bell, and, you know, one of the kind of founding members of the museum here, and one of the ones that he actually was responsible for a lot of the artifacts we do have. And he, I mean, just being able to speak to him and to get his stories and you know, in talking to some of these other docents that we have out there, you know, that are just walking around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should have mentioned this at the start of the podcast, but I am so honored that you, in your interview series, that I was asked to follow Hal. I am no Hal Bell. I would consider myself pretty intelligent, but that man actually worked on the Manhattan Project.
That man, He blows my mind every time I speak to him.
Yeah, and actually, I have a book in my office right now. He found out that I was really interested in aviation history, and he dropped by after a board meeting and brought me a book to read from his personal library. I'm so honored that you would ask me to follow up after him. I don't know that I deserve that, but
Hal might be the most interesting man in the world, but listen, you're pretty interesting too, girl. Like, I don't know. I learned something new.
And it's neat to get your perspective being new to the museum. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you came into the museum in the middle of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a weird time.
And you're working as events coordinator, which is something that this pandemic has really shaken up. And so, you know, with membership and events, you know, the membership has changed, but the events has definitely changed a lot.
Yeah.
And so to speak to with you as you're coming in and saying, okay, well, what are we doing next? You know, I think it's neat to hear from you, and it's neat for some of the members, you know, because this is primarily a membership podcast, and you know, so it's neat for you to come on and say, hey, thanks guys.
Yeah, I know. And we are so thankful for our members, and we hope that we can see you all soon. And it has been getting busier at the museum. I've been noticing more people since I started in January, so that's really good. We hope that all of our members will decide to start coming back soon.
Yeah, well, and we feel very confident that it's safe. You know, we are ready to welcome people back, and we're really excited. I did do something yesterday a little bit embarrassing. I met two new people, and I'm not used to meeting new people because it's been a pandemic.
And Anna works in like the curation. Yeah, so she like works like way in the back there.
So I'm not used to it. And I shook both of their hands, and I was like, no, you can't do that. But I just didn't remember you're supposed to not do that. I don't know. So fun to have people back, though.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, on the topic of, you know, safety and the museum, when the pandemic kind of shut us down, I remember first off we're meetings on how are we going to keep this place clean and safe when we open up. We've been preparing since day one of the shutdown to reopen and to reopen safely. And we've kind of done that in stages. We just recently opened, you know, some of our interactives that had been closed until just last week, I believe, or very, very recently. So safety is a very huge part of the museum, because we want you to come back. And, you know, we want you to become a member. And so we want you to come back a lot. But yeah, so safety, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that really is a huge part of where we're at right now.
Yeah. And we're really, really lucky to have amazing leadership from Jim Walther and from Jennifer, who's our deputy director. You know, we've been really, really lucky to be able to be open for actually a really, like, a lot of the pandemic. Because we have Heritage Park, because we have an outdoor area, we were able to safely open in the summer last year, and that allowed, you know, we had a few regulars, which was really lovely to see. There was a mom and her kid who came in every Friday, and that was my shift, and it was always just, like, so nice to see this little girl in her little, like, airplane outfit that she always wore for that. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's it so was cute. Just,
it was really, really nice. So we've been really lucky to have, you know, leaders who care about us and who care about our members and our visitors. And part of caring about them is making sure that they have something to do, something to do safely. And yeah, I'm really glad that we've gotten to do that.
Very much so. Yeah, as staff at the museum here, I mean, I know you are new, but it has been neat to see, as you say, the leadership step up and say, okay, guys, let's be a team and let's see where we can all be. That was,
let's,
you know,
care for each other.
Exactly. And, and yeah, so safety and being part of this museum, is huge, as a staff. And, you know, and so that is neat to see.
Oh no, I'm tearing up a little bit.
Why are you crying?
I really like this place. Sorry.
Oh, it's true. It is true. No, I don't befriend you at all. I don't blame you at all, because, I mean, things like education, working with the exhibits and artifacts and things, and us being able to team up, Anna and I have had a, I've had a wonderful time, and we finally get to do it in person here. You know, working with Anna, doing some, you know, work with Julia on like the gala and things. It is really neat, and we do. I know that this one has turned into Yay, We Love Our Museum podcast, but we hadn't done that yet, and so I am unabashedly saying, yay, I love this place, and I do love the people here, and I think a podcast, you know, in speaking with Julie and the memberships, we want you to be members because we love it here, and we want you to love it here, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we do, actually, as an add-in thing, Anna mentioned Jennifer, we do have a small clip that we'll play at the end here, talking about a new artifacts facility.
Yes.
And Jennifer will jump in just a little bit here and talk about that artifacts facility. And then
I'm very excited. Working in collections, this is a big deal for us.
You get a new house.
Yeah.
And as an enthusiast of, like, military history, I'm super excited about it too, just for some of this stuff to finally be on display. There are not many places in the United States where you can see this kind of collection that we have here. Especially of some of those objects. And so having a space where we can finally put those on display and educate the public about them, and again, let them see them and make their own decisions, that is, it's just going to be so fantastic. So I'm excited about the Museum Artifact Center.
So here, we'll let Jennifer tell you about that.
The nonprofit National Museum of Nuclear Science and History, located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is preparing to construct an artifacts care facility and unique memorial to house the largest collection of unclassified American nuclear defense artifacts in existence and commemorate service to the nation's defense during the Cold War. This museum artifacts center, also known as the MAC, will be 5,000 square feet, offering space for museum-quality visible storage for nuclear defense artifacts, plus an exhibitions preparation space. The museum's collection to be placed in the MAC includes the world's largest and most complete group of historic nuclear weapons casings and displays that are unclassified and able to be viewed by the general public. This collection of more than 120 individual objects is too large to be displayed in the museum's current exhibition area, thus the need for the new facility. This Smithsonian-affiliated National Museum of Nuclear Science and History tells the story of the atomic age, from early developments to today's peaceful uses of nuclear technology. As our nation's repository for our community's collective memory of nuclear heritage, it is our mission to preserve and manage these important pieces of history. As the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History works to preserve the history of our nuclear heritage through the construction of the Museum Artifacts Center, please consider making a donation to help us increase the museum's capability of safely and securely storing these meaningful artifacts.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's great working here. I'm just so excited to be here. I'm excited to get to meet all of our members here and get to know them better. Hopefully soon we'll start, well, obviously we're still open, but hopefully soon people will feel more comfortable making excursions and coming to museums. And for that, I can't wait to meet you. If you come in and you're a member, please feel free to ask the front desk, hey, is Julie in today? We'd love to meet her. I am happy to come out and greet you and welcome you to the museum after such a long time. We're so excited. And I'd really just love to tell you more. We do have a Minuteman missile mock-up out in the Heritage Park. I'd be happy to talk about that as well. All sorts of fun stuff.
Well, and if you haven't, you know, figured it out by this point in the podcast, Julie is really fun to talk to.
Yeah, just come and hang out. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't hang out forever. I do have to actually do work.
Yeah, sure, I'm sure.
However,
come say hi. Come yes. say
come
hi.
Come say yes. hi.
Give her a break.
Yeah, right. I'm happy to do a little tour of the museum, get to know all of our members. So I'm excited.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Julie, for spending some time with us and chatting with us on the podcast here. We appreciate you. We appreciate our Atomic History Patron members.
Yes, we do.
So thanks for coming in and talking about that. And Anna, for just us having a time to chat about the museum.
Yeah, this has been really fun. I'm excited to have gotten to do one of our interview series episodes now, because the Hal Bell episodes were filmed during the pandemic. I didn't want to, add another person. So it's been fun. I can't wait to do another one. This
Definitely.
Is going to be great.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Anna and David, for providing this content to our Atomic History Patron members. Once again, our Atomic History Patron members are people who want to learn more, and they want to do like a deep dive on atomic history and science, and they want it delivered right to their inbox. And so having this resource for them that they can just log in and take mm-hmm. a listen and learn something new every month,
mm-hmm.
fabulous. And I've really enjoyed the podcast myself. So thank you for providing that for them. And thank you for coming up with this fabulous idea.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Well, and on top of that, I would like to remind everyone that if they have any ideas, I mean, this podcast is for you. If you want us to interview someone, if you want us to talk about a certain topic, if you have a question about anything that we have talked about, if you have a question about something totally random, please, please feel free to email us at info@nuclearmuseum.org. I'm not going to try and spell it. I tried to spell it, I think, in the last podcast, and it took about 5 takes. It was not great. I will put it in the description of this episode. But please email us. Contact us about anything. We would love to hear from you. This podcast is for you. You can guide where it goes. But on the other hand, if you want to sit back and have us do the work, that's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a great time doing it. Cool. So thank you guys.
Yeah, we have some fun events coming up soon in the next couple months too. So you'll have to check your emails for that as well. Make sure you are actually
reading through the membership emails because we do have some really exciting stuff coming up. Maybe we'll have to do a podcast about Minuteman missiles to
I'm up for it.
We can do it.
So some potential topics. If you have questions about your membership benefits, you can also feel free to just contact me directly. It's J Dologowski. So J D as in Delta O L E G O W S K I at nuclearmuseum.org. And Anna will put that.
Yeah, I can put that in the description as
Fabulous.
Well. Fabulous. Yeah. It's not as hard to spell as it sounds or looks. Like, I'm terrible at spelling, and I got it pretty quick. It's okay, guys.
It's probably the most intimidating thing about me, to be honest.
Awesome. Well, as we say, we end this podcast. Thank you for listening, and don't forget
to wash your hands.
Radioactive Waves has been presented by the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History. Join us next time for more interviews, histories, and insights on topics like the Manhattan Project, science and pop culture, the atomic age, and the differences between nuclear fact and fiction.